It's a real pleasure this morning to introduce you to somebody who you may have met last year, and he was spoken about last week. If you remember, Jenny had been to South Africa and spoke of this wonderful couple, Jeremy and Laura Webb, and their three children they brought along today. Jeremy leads Monai Church in Bethlehem, South Africa. In my experience of the church, it's gone down as the coldest church I've ever been to. It was 5 degrees outside. There was no heating in the building, and they'd left a pane of glass out of the door, and the wind was coming straight through there where I was sitting. Now, I'm an Englishman, so I'm used to the cold. I was sitting next to a guy from India. He was freezing. He could hardly operate. So if people do complain sometimes about how hot it is in here, I just think back to Jeremy's church in Bethlehem. But they lead a great church there based in the township of this town of Bethlehem, which is near Lesotho in central southern South Africa. They've got a great work of social project works amongst many different people groups in that town. And they are a couple who just love Jesus. And I want to commend them to you now. So Jeremy, you come and share. Let's welcome him as he comes up.
Good morning. We do replace that pane of glass fairly regularly. And then it gets broken again. So now I've given up. It's an unusual day in September that's cold, and Ian chose the wrong one. And usually our building is stiflingly hot, so there's no pleasant middle ground there. I'm Jeremy. This is my wife Laura, and we've got three little girls. The two of them have gone. This is Joy. Lift up Joy. All of them born in Bethlehem, the less famous one in the Free State of South Africa. We've been there for coming up to 13 years, and Laura's from just down the road here in Rowlands Gill. So it's been very convenient that you guys are here, that we get to be with you. We have had an interesting journey over the last 13 years of Jesus taking us through life in another culture and life with total dependence on him, and we wouldn't have it any other way. In the last couple of years particularly, Jesus has taken us to a place of where we don't want anything but him. We've tried many things. We've tried all sorts of ways to make life the way the world tells us it should be, even the church world. But nothing matches up. Nothing quite satisfies. Nothing is good enough unless it's Jesus. And so we've discovered the best place to be is on our knees. I've actually, to prove it, I've even got holes in my jeans. That's the height of piousness, isn't it? My other pair of jeans also had bad knees, but I stepped over a fence last week and split everything, so I didn't wear those today. It was too much on show. I want to start this morning by just reading to you from Psalm 16. It might even be all of it, I can't remember. It says, "Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." That's truth. With you don't have Jesus in his completeness. We've got nothing good unless it's Jesus. You can spend your life running after everything that the newspapers and the TV tells you you should have. But if you do not have Jesus in his fullness, if we do not live our lives totally dependent and longing for the fullness of who he is, we have nothing. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Everything out there is another God. If it's not Jesus, it's another God. If your life is built on anything other than him, it's another God. Your sorrows will multiply. They seem good at first, because at first you're getting what the world says you should have, and everyone in the world will applaud you for it. But your sorrows will multiply, because the sorrows of your heart are there because you want Jesus. You were created to give him glory. You were created to worship him. You were created to do nothing but give him praise. That's why he made you. It tells us that. You were created for his glory. If you're not glorifying Jesus with all of your being, then your life is heading for sorrow. This is the truth. How many of us live our lives with this aching, this dissatisfaction? It's not quite good enough. Maybe if I move to that place, it'll get better. Maybe if I change jobs, it'll get better. Maybe I'll feel better if I have children. There's this long list of maybe ifs. But the maybe if is, maybe if I lived completely sold out for Jesus, I would then be satisfied. Because that is the only satisfaction. I live to try and center my every thought upon him. It's not easy. I live that every motive in my heart is after him. But it's not easy. Because although I am holy because of Jesus on the cross, I'm in a process of sanctification. And I am more aware today of my filth than I was yesterday. I want to be like Jesus. Because when I'm like him, I can be with him. I want to walk like he walked and talk like he talked and do what he did. But I can't because of my selfish desires and my selfish motives. The Holy Spirit regularly shows me how disgusting I am. I like to put on a front. I'm putting on a show today. But I don't want to put on a show. I want my life to be an open book. I don't have to pretend to be someone I'm not. I don't have to show you guys that I'm something special. Jesus knows my every thought. He knows the depths of my heart. He knows every selfish desire. He knows what I do when no one else is looking. And he still loves me. He still thinks I'm incredible. Why do I have to spend my life trying to get the approval of men? You know, I'm speaking this from the place of humility. I spend a lot of my life doing stuff for people. And Jesus he's brought me to a place where I've got to know him well enough that I can hear him sticking me in the ribs when I start to worry about what people think of me. But a life that is led, the life that is lived doing what I think is going to make me popular to others, is a life wasted. Because it's not a life popular with Jesus. Because my thoughts and my desires and my passions need to be him. And yet it's so easy, particularly in the church. The church is the place where it should just be Jesus. But it's not. Because we're always trying to get everyone to lift us up. We want people to recognize us. We want to be in a position. We want Ian to stand us at the front and pray for us in front of everyone. People leave churches regularly because they haven't got the position that they were after. But it's not about us. It's not about me. I get cross often reading blogs on the internet. It's best not to have the internet. There's too much going on there that causes trouble. People keep blogging about how I didn't enjoy the worship in church today. I'm sorry, but it's nothing to do with you. If you didn't enjoy the worship today, it's because you didn't come for Jesus. It doesn't matter if they sing 40-year-old songs or 100-year-old songs or last week's songs. The song is to help your brain focus on Him. If we go away from church on a Sunday morning saying, oh, didn't really enjoy that, then you came for the wrong reason. Because you shouldn't be here for your enjoyment. You will enjoy it. But it's not for your enjoyment. Being with you lot is my favorite. I love it. I love being with the church. I love Sunday morning. I look forward to it. I'm excited by it because I love worshiping Jesus. I love worshiping Jesus on my own. I love worshiping Jesus in my house. I love doing it with the church, with the body. Because there's something about when we're together, He made the church. Of course it's good. We can complain about it as much as we like, but He made it and He's the head. So we can recognize that Jesus is here. Or we can sit with our arms folded, huffing and puffing about what song choices were made this morning. It's not about me. And Jesus keeps bringing me back and saying, get on your knees. Because if you want to gain life, Matthew 10, you must lose it. I've got to lose my life if I want to find Jesus. You know, a dead man cannot hold on to things. A dead man cannot choose which song he likes. A dead man has no opinion. And Jesus keeps asking us to die. Will you die? If you want to gain life, you must lose life. What's losing life if it's not death? And so I must die every day to what I want and to what I desire and to what I need, because this life is Jesus. This life is Him. It's for Him. The Word tells us He is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of God. The firstborn of all creation. This is Colossians chapter 1. For by Him all things were created in heaven and on earth. That's you. Visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through Him and for Him. You were created for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. This is who Jesus is. He is the exact image of the Father. He is, Hebrews 1, He is the radiance of the glory of God. The radiance of the glory of God. He is the fullness of God, and He is the radiance of the glory of God. He is God. And He's awesome. And He wants you. He wants me. He wants to be with me. Do you know He loves to be with you more than you love to be with Him? He longs for you to come to Him. He longs for you to throw off all that stuff, all those burdens, all those desires and those wants and those needs, and just come to Him, because you will find what you've been looking for. All that stuff that we think we need is not what we need. That stuff is not going to solve the problem. It's not going to sort us out. It's just going to make us look like everybody else does out there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Not having everything sorted. Look at them out there. They're not a joyful bunch, are they? The best they can come up with is Strictly Come Dancing. We can live like everybody else, but we will not find Jesus. I don't want to be like everybody else. Jesus told me not to be like everybody else, didn't he? How can I be like the world, longing for the things that they long for, and still say that I love Jesus? Because there we said it, we've seen it here. If we worship other gods, our sorrows will multiply. The Lord Jesus is my chosen portion and my cup and my lot. Are you willing to say, Jesus is my lot? He's my everything. He's all I've got. He's all I want. Are we willing to have everything stripped away? Until we come on our knees to him and say, Jesus, you are my lot. You're my all in all. You're my everything. You're my desire. You're my want. Because that's who he's looking for. He's looking for those who will lay it all down and say, Jesus, if I don't have you, I don't have life. I'm longing, looking forward to dying. I can't wait. But also, I know that Jesus has told me I don't need to wait to heaven to find him because I can have him right here. The fullness of God right here and right now. So I'm not going to waste these short years that I've got here on earth waiting for heaven as much as I'm longing to be there. I want to find him in his fullness right here and right now. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. Don't you? Do you think about that inheritance daily? I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night he instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. I set the Lord before me. He is always there, and I will not be shaken. We will suffer. We will be persecuted. We will be attacked. If you are trying to live your life for comfort, coming out of the UK and living somewhere else for this length of time has shown me how much we live in this country for our comfort and our entertainment. Everything that we do is to earn enough money in order to entertain ourselves and to avoid any kind of distress. And so when distress comes, people behave in the strangest ways. You can learn a lot from living with the poor, but they are not distressed by distressful things, because they almost expect it. But what that means is they're content in every situation. When I come here, what I see now is a people who are desperate to never have any distress. But that means they're never content. We're told, be content in every situation. How can we be content if we've never got what we want? We're always being told, you watch the television here and it's just advert after advert telling you what you don't have and you should have. How can you be content watching that stuff? What goes into your eyes shows itself through your heart. Do you want to live life discontent? Or do you want to live life satisfied and at peace? Because Jesus has given us peace even in the midst of sorrow. Even in the midst of distress, we have peace. Because he is the Prince of Peace. That's who he is. Peace doesn't come from having your mortgage sorted and your pension fund. That's not where peace comes from. Peace doesn't come from lying on a beach in the Caribbean. Peace comes from him. From knowing that you are made right with God through the Son. That's where peace comes from. We're told that the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. I think it's in that order. Because if you aren't righteous, you can't have peace. Because peace comes from being right with God, and you're right with God when you're made righteous by Jesus. Amen? I was made righteous when I was saved. So every day when I come and I bring my life and place it before Jesus, it brings me peace. Because I say, Jesus, I can't control this. There's nothing I can do here. I'm completely at your whim, at your will. I want to know what your will is. I can't sort this out. I've tried for all these years, as generations, we've gone back trying to sort out every problem and every pain so that we don't ever have to encounter them. But they keep coming. We can't do it. We keep trying to avoid it. We keep trying to make it better. We vote to leave Europe in the hope that it'll make things better. But nothing's going to make things better until we are a people who are on our knees surrendering all to Him. Because that's what we were created for. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not holidays. Holidays don't give me joy. They make me happy, but there's a difference. Because those who said things like, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and rejoice, rejoice, were those who were living in the midst of suffering. Paul's constantly saying, rejoice, rejoice in every situation while he's sitting in prison. It's not a British prison with satellite television and whatever else the Daily Mail tells me that they've got. This is a Roman prison. He's been shipwrecked. Rejoice. Hallelujah, I'm at sea in the Mediterranean in a storm. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. He's been beaten and flogged and snakes have bit him. And he's saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Can we say that? Do we say that? We don't live in a place of joy because we don't have peace, because we don't know the Prince of Peace. My brain gets overloaded with the burdens of this world. With church, with people's personal problems, with my own family, with my children's education, my mind becomes a sea of imagination. What Jesus told us very clearly in Matthew 6? Do not worry about tomorrow. And yet we spend our whole lives living in tomorrow, imagining all the terrible things that may or may not come to pass. They're all incredible story writers in here about what's going to happen tomorrow. You create all sorts of images in your head and you make decisions based on your imagination of tomorrow. But Jesus says, I didn't ask you to think about tomorrow. I want you here. With me today. But you're not with me today because you're thinking about tomorrow. Because your concern for what's going to happen is bigger than your concern for me. I don't want my life to be filled with days wasted in worry. I want my life to be filled with Him. Don't you? That's where I find my peace. And so I've discovered that when I come every morning, I come on my knees and I say, Jesus, I'm going to tell you, I've got a list. I've got a list. Every day I've got a list. I don't know what to do here. I've got no idea the answer here. I can't control this. I'd like to, but I can't. I've tried controlling that and it's gone wrong. I'm making a big mess here, day after day. And so I come now on my knees and I say, Jesus, here it is. It's yours. You can do something with that when you want to, in your way. But I have got nothing. So unless you're going to talk to me about that thing, I'm going to leave it there. So you tell me what you want me to do and I'll do it. But in the meantime, I'm going to leave it there and I'm going to worship you. Because when I hold that in my hand, it's all I can see. It's all I think about. Even when I come to church, I stand there with my hands raised, but I'm not thinking about Jesus. I'm thinking about those concerns, those worries. I want to be completely abandoned to his wonder and his glory. And so I would encourage you. He's told us, my burden is light, hasn't he? Take off your burden take on my burden. I'm absolutely convinced that the burden that Jesus has asked us to take on is that of worshipping him. I think that's what he was meaning when he said, take on my yoke. Because that's the only thing I can find that he's asked me to do. Your burden, my burden, every day, is to worship Jesus. But you can't worship him because you're carrying your own burden. And so I refuse. I am not going to carry those burdens anymore. I'm not going to do it. Because I cannot be at peace with Jesus, I cannot find Jesus, and I cannot be full of the joy of the Lord if I'm carrying that stuff. So throw it away, throw it down. He knows, doesn't he? He knows. He knows what you need before you do. He's got it sorted. But we don't trust him. That's what it comes down to, doesn't it? I trust myself more than I trust him. That's a worrying thought, isn't it? You're going to stand before Jesus and it's a judgment day and say that. Do we trust Jesus with everything? I don't trust Jesus with everything, but I want to. Because I know that when I do, I can find him. It's so much fun. I say to our guys, yeah, we have so much fun at church, but people think church is boring. Well, it is boring. Because if you come to be entertained and you come to for anything other than Jesus, it's pretty dull. There's much more entertaining things. We just drove past a car boot sale. It was heaving. How anybody can think that looking in people's car boots through their old socks is going to be more interesting than Jesus, I've no idea. But the church has misrepresented him. The church has made him dull. Because we've made him just a list of do's and don'ts, and if you do this, then this might be better, but we don't really believe that. We've made all sorts of plans just in case Jesus doesn't turn up. We have to have lots of exciting entertainment here because we don't think Jesus is going to come. But when Jesus comes, you don't need any other entertainment because he's amazing. You know, just one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. It is. I love it. That's why we continue to do what we do because we've had a moment in his courts. And thankfully, we have a moment most days in his courts, and it's lovely. And I love it, and I want to be there, and I want to stay there, and I want to stay in that place. But I can't if I am trying to lead and if I'm not dead. When I die, I can stay in his courts. My heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure. Listen to that. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, in a nation full of mental illness and sorrow and depression, and my soul is secure in him. That's what we're all after. Why do I feel this way? Why am I can't get a grip on things. Because my soul needs to be secure in him. You will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like fun? Pleasures forevermore. It's going to be better than Alton Towers, that is. I've made it my mission to seek him. You know, we've got command after command saying, seek my face, seek my face, seek me and you will find me. Seek first the kingdom. It says in Jeremiah 29, you will call upon me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's the crux of the issue. All your heart. Because we can't seek him with a bit of our heart. Or we can, but that's not what he says. He makes it tricky because he says all of our heart. And so my cry is, Jesus, that all of this would be surrendered to you. Not just the bit that I like. Not just a Sunday morning and a Wednesday evening or whatever it is. But every moment of every day would be totally in adoration of the King of Kings who created the heavens and the earth and looked at me and said, you are good. Isn't that amazing? Before creation, he knew you. Before he created chlorophyll, you're all intelligent people, you live in Durham. I don't know what that is, but I think it's green. Before he created it, he knew you. Before he threw the stars into space, which he then named, he knew you. He knew you were going to be born. He knew that you would look funny. And he said, I love that one. And I'm going to send Jesus. Jesus said, yeah, I'll go for that one. I'll go for them. So you can wallow in your stinky pit of self-pity because you're not what you think you should be. Or you can say, I'm who God made me to be. And he is saying, come, now is the time to worship. We've got to throw off all selfishness, all selfish thought, and it's not easy, trust me. I'm selfish to my core without Jesus. I want to be seen, I want to be noticed, I want to be recognized, because I do not think myself highly, but he does. So when I throw myself on my face and on my knees before him, he just holds me, he just pulls me in. He says, I love you. Just worship me. And it's fun. It is fun. He's the Word. He's the beginning and the end. He's the firstborn. He's amazing. He's Jesus. Say his name. Fun, that isn't it? Jesus, say it again. Jesus, there's power in his name and there's love in his name. We spend a lot of time in Monet saying Jesus because I don't have anything else to say. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All the angels say is holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. It's not very many words. The angels are jealous of us. Not jealous because that's sin, but you know what I mean. They want to be like us because they want to have this relationship with Jesus. Jesus is everything. So come, let's come before him on our knees with thanksgiving. And let's say, thank you that you care enough about me, that you would do this, that you would make a way for me to come to you in my filth, in my darkness. You bring me to you and you breathe life and you say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You want to be loved? Don't you want to be loved? Let's not be loved by the world. The moment you get loved by the world, they then turn around and stick you in the back. Get your face on the front of the papers, it'll only be next week, and then they'll be tearing you down again. Let's not seek the love of the world. Let's seek the love of the one who created us, because he wanted us to worship with him. You might think, hey, I was created to worship someone else. Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, you're going to lose out big time. Okay, you can sit on your independent, self-righteous seat saying, oh, I wasn't created to worship anyone. Or you can say, this is why I was made. This is my purpose. This is my reason for living. And if I don't fulfill my purpose, I will end my life having wasted it. And I will go into eternity of misery. It's pretty miserable here without Jesus, let's be honest. Eternity of misery seems miserable. We've got this short little life here. And we get to have fun with the fullness of God living in me. That's amazing, isn't it? Do you want more of him? Do you want to know him more? Do you want to find him? Should we find him? Seek and you will find. You know, I've discovered very much, he's been showing me how to seek him, because sometimes I don't know. I used to be one of these people that stood. I've been a Christian a long time. I used to stand there like this. Come on in. If you're going to do something, you better get on and do it. Why do those people seem to be enjoying you, and I can't feel anything. I've got nothing. I think it's quite common. I think I'm not the only one. Okay, the crazy people at the front going, wow, Jesus. And you're going, what are they feeling that I'm not? You need to sit on the front. You need to make this church one great big front row. Seek him with all of my heart. You know what he's shown me? He said, he's shown me that I need to seek him with all of my heart and mind and body and soul. That means I need to clear out all of the distractions in my mind, because I come in here thinking about all sorts of stuff. And when I come to him early in the morning, I'm thinking about my car and the children and what I'm going to do. I have to clear that out. Do you know the way I do that? I say, Jesus. Say it. It's fun, isn't it? Jesus. I say, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And I engage. I engage. I was with someone and they kept saying, come on, engage with him. Engage with him. I was saying, well, I am. What am I supposed to do? I've got my hands up. I'm singing the song. They're going, come on, I can feel you're not engaged. You're being passive. I now know what they mean. I need to come to him. When we go to him, he comes to us. But I spent many years of my life waiting for him to come to me. Do you know, he's looking for the hungry. He's looking for the desperate. He's like a faith detector. Where's the hungry one? Where's the hungry one? Live hungry. And when there's an opportunity that he may walk into the room, I want him. And I'm not going to be the one that says, well, I didn't find him in that. Everyone said he was there, but I never saw anything. I don't want to be that one. When someone says, Jesus is in the room, you go, whoa, whoa, okay, I want him. I was in a meeting just last week, and I was sitting there looking up at the ceiling, and I don't know what, I was nodding off, I think. And the guy said, oh, Jesus is here. And I went, oh, is he? Oh, okay, I want him. I want him. I'm not going to say, oh, I don't feel him. I'm going to go, oh, okay, he's here. Because he comes in his manifest presence. He lives in me, but he manifests his presence so that I can know him like a best friend. And that's what I love. That's what I love to be with. And when I'm in that place, I don't want to be anywhere else, which means when I go out into the world, I've got him and he's right there and it's fun. So I engage with him. I've started sort of moving about. I don't do the Christian hop, but because I want more of him, and I want him. I want to show him. If I had a check for £50,000 here, and I said, "Who wants it?" You wouldn't sit like this, would you? What would you be doing? Me. If you could actually see him standing here, what would you be doing? Because you wouldn't be sitting on the chair, I can guarantee it. We've got to engage with him. He is right here. And so let's not be passive. Well, actually, it's more like this in church, isn't it? It's my Bible. The Bible is on the phone. We must come to him. This isn't law. It's just fun. It's much more fun to be in a meeting, hopping around like a crazy, going, "Jesus is here, Jesus is here, Jesus is here," than it is going, "Jesus isn't here. And I don't like this song." Isn't it? What a boring lot we are. Stand up. Jesus, we love you. Just lift your hands to him. Lift your hands right up to him. Let's not do half hands. Let's do full hands. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Just say his name. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, 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 we can't live without you. Jesus, Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, how we want you. We want you. We want to know you. We want to see you. We want to be known by you. We want to be overcome by your presence, by your glory. We want every moment of our day to be the joy of your presence being filling us up and overflowing us. Fill us up, Jesus. Fill us up. We want to find you. We want to encounter you, but not for a moment, but for eternity. For every second of our day, Jesus, we come to you. We come to you to die this morning. I die to my wants. I die to my desires. I lay it all down because, Jesus, I don't want anything to separate me from your love. Your love is amazing. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Jesus, we love you. 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 I don't know why you love me, but you do. Jesus, we love you. We love you. Jesus, just start to sing his name. Just start to sing his name. Jesus.